Joshua chapter 5. Keep your Bibles open. I'm going to show you just one of the most amazing statements. And I promise you, this will affect every person in the room tonight. This is not a sermon that I think that you may need. This is a sermon I know you will need. This is not something that this affects somebody you know. This affects you. The Jews have finally completed 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They've left Egypt. They're about to enter Canaan. These who are here have finally completed what their parents and their grandparents would not do 40 years earlier. Think through that for a second. These are the young people under the age of 20, and those that were born in the wilderness, whose parents and grandparents died in the wilderness, because their family, the elders said, 10 of the 12 spies said, well, it's a great place, but we don't think we can conquer it. They were right. They couldn't, but God could. Joshua is leading them. Moses is dead. God has cared for the needs of these Jews for 40 years. He has made sure that they got water from a rock that was smitten by Moses. The Bible says that that rock followed them. I don't know if that means that they put it on a cart and rolled it and it gave water. I don't know if it rolled around with them. I'm not sure how that worked. I do know that the Bible says that that rock followed them. That rock was a picture of Jesus. That's why Moses lost his ticket to the promised land, because it was supposed to be smitten the first time. Then when they needed water, he was supposed to speak to it. Because he smote it the second time, God said, you're changing doctrine, you're done. Now, their clothing has been preserved for 40 years. Can you imagine the same clothing for 40 years? It grew as they grew. I've often said this. I kind of think it's funny. A 40-year-old person wearing baby booties, I guess. I don't know. Or a onesie. There's some pictures that should not be had. Amen. I'm not sure how all that worked, but God said he preserved their clothing. He preserved their shoes that they did not wear out for 40 years. Can you imagine not having to go clothes shopping for 40 years? Amen, fellas. Not sitting in a store waiting for your wife to try on 14 things and come out and say, nothing is right. He's cared for their food. He provided manna every day. 6 days a week, God provided manna, and on the sixth day, they gathered enough for 2 days' worth. But every day, they ate manna. Now listen to this statement. Probably anywhere from two-thirds to three-fourths of the people know nothing else. This is how they've grown up. This is all they've known. Less than a third of the people remembered Egypt. Everybody else that could have has died in the wilderness. God has provided their every need, food, water, clothing. He kept their tents in good order. Can you imagine having a tent that you took up and tore down on a regular basis and it didn't tear? The poles didn't wear out? God makes a very interesting statement in verse number 12. I want you to look at verse 12 again. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. Wow. God was literally changing their diet overnight. God was literally changing their lifestyle overnight. He was still going to supply by the surplus of the land of Canaan that they were about to conquer, but they're going to have to go shopping on their own now. This will be the first time most of them will have ever had to get their own food. They will have to make decisions on what they're going to eat. Can you imagine for 40 years not having to decide what you're going to eat? You know what you're going to eat is manna. For the first time in 40 years, they will have decisions to make about what they eat. They're going to have to use or learn to cook again. This is going to be a big change in their life. It seems as though it was a sudden change. Notice what God said. He said, on the morrow. Tomorrow. I'm cutting it off. No more manna. Now, it wasn't totally unexpected. God told them 40 years earlier what was coming. But it's a good change, but it's still change. Let me make a statement here. All people hate change. All people hate change. I can imagine many were afraid. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to eat? Some were probably upset. I can't believe God's going to do this. Can you hear the whiners and complainers? Some were confused and unsure of what to do. Oh my, oh my. They're about to have a nervous breakdown. Even though this is a good change and something that is normal everyday living. Listen to that statement. I'm sure people were in disbelief that God was just going to drop this bomb on them like this. That's not fair. Why did God have to do it so quickly? It only took 40 years, folks. Let's face it, 40 years of no shopping for anything. Now it's back to reality in one night. They're going to have to get food and prepare it. They're going to have to buy clothing. They're being switched to reality all at once. It's kind of like when a couple gets married and get back from their honeymoon. And they have to start working and paying bills. And really living with the decision they just made. And finding out life isn't a honeymoon. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen. Amen. Ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God will give them the wherewithal to get all they need, but it's going to be a big change. Instead of going out and picking up manna off the ground, they're going to have to go purchase their food. They're going to have to go harvest their food. They're going to have choices on what to eat. How would you have handled it? Would you be one of the critics or the complainers? Would you be one of the whiny babies because you think everything should stay the same? Would you be one of those that said that God's not fair and wished you had it the way it's been for the last 40 years and why change it now? Ouch. Would you be one that's upset because, well, this isn't in my routine? Would you have responded had it been you? If God said, for 40 years I've provided manna, I've kept your clothing, I've kept everything you have intact, from now on, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You want to eat? Go conquer. That's a motivation to fight, amen? Yes, sir. Let me take a few minutes, and I really don't plan to preach long. I can't tell you I'm not going to preach hard. I don't plan on it, but never do. Let me give you some things. I've got about five or six things, I think, four or five tonight I want to give you about change. I call it time to go shopping. Time to go shopping. Number one, life is a series of constant change. Please listen to me, and I mean this with all the love I can say this. You're an idiot if you think that there's no change in life. wake up, smell the coffee, there's change. That's all we have left is change. Matter of fact, some of us would be glad if we could find some change. Nothing stays the same. You say, why is that? Because we humans are sinners. And because of that, there is repercussions for sin. You are not the same person you were 10 years ago. Some of you ought to be glad of that. Some of you are twice the person you were 20 years ago. Oh me. Now wait a minute. Nothing stays the same. Brother Fisher and I were talking last night. And Brother Fisher and I went to Bible college together. He's about 2 years older than I am. Two years older than dirt. Amen. He said, Brother Bush, isn't it crazy? He said, I don't feel this old. I said, you don't act it either. Honestly, from here up, I'm still pretty young. Now, from there down, it's a whole different story. But in my own mind, I can still do what I did when I was 30. And I still keep a pretty healthy schedule, but it's not quite as easy as it used to be. My dad had some spouting issues the other day, and I won't let him go up on a ladder. He gets mad at me, but I don't give a rip. I love him enough. At 83, he doesn't need to be up 25, 30 feet in the air on a ladder. He has no business being on any ladder. He said, I said, I'll be over. Well, the ladder doesn't reach all the way up to the spouting. Most of the way, and you can still get up there, but it's one of those, you know, you lean it against the bushes and it's not up against the house till you get on it. And, you know, one of those kind of deals. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not afraid of heights still, but I'm a little smarter in how I do this. Dad got an anchor and plowed that thing down there so that ladder wouldn't move. And I thought, well, here we go. If I die, I'm going to die happy. I got everything undone, came down. I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. But I am a little bit more thoughtful before I go up. Amen? Say, why? Because I don't bounce like I used to. I make a bigger thud than I once did. Why? Life changes things. There are some things I choose not to pick up anymore. Say, why? Because I've done it in times past the wrong way and paying the price for it now. Not only are we changing, but everything around us is changing. How many of you grew up in an area and you went back to visit it as an adult and it didn't remind you what it was when you were a kid? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I go back to my hometown, my home neighborhood, and I'm thinking, man, it seems a whole lot smaller than it used to be. It just seemed so much bigger and so much farther when I was a kid. And I go back and think, man, my dad used to talk about driving all the way to Massillon. Well, that's like driving from here to Charlestown. I'm not kidding. All the way, I'm thinking. It's just, yeah. We're all the way to Akron. I mean, all the way to Akron was here to Hagerstown. That was a long drive. You only did that on special occasions, you know. America is not the same as it was when you were a kid. Oh, to be like it used to be. The speed of life is not what it used to be. Seems the older I get, the faster it's moving. The more complex it gets. I thought time went fast when I was a kid. Good night. I'm 55 years old, and man, it's passing by so fast, it's not even funny. Life is a constant series of change. And even if you don't think you're changing, everything is changing around you. Institutions constantly change. How many of you remember stores that aren't there anymore? Yeah. My dad's going to smile when I say this. I remember going to Clarkin's on Saturday night and filling up with gas because nothing was open on Sunday mornings. Amen, Pop? And he could hand the guy a $5 bill and fill the car up and still get change back. And that guy had that thing on his pocket, on his belt there, and ching, 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 you know, with the change. And they'd wash your windows. A lot of times they'd use a newspaper to wipe it off with. Oh, all kinds of crazy things. Churches change. I could take you around this country and show you places where churches used to be a hotbed of soul winning, fundamentalism, bus running, hellfire, damnation preaching, place where people got saved by the thousands, and now it's a rock band, smokes. Everybody feel good. Let's have a family worship center, and let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Let's all just get along. Let's be culturally acceptable. Gag. Colleges change. Bible colleges change. Businesses change. Houses change. Remember the house you grew up in? Go back and look at it now. You think, that wasn't what I thought it was. Y'all know what I'm talking about? For some of you, you can't go back there because it ain't there no more. But things are constantly changing. Businesses and institutions and churches and just any kind of institution, it's constantly changing. Let me make this statement. We need to accept that change is what life is made of. We cannot live only by what we know of from the past. Too many people want to live in the past today. Well, I hate to tell you something, you can't do it. I know, I don't have a computer. I'm an antique. It's all right. Shut up. I'll keep my stone tablet, my hammer, and my chisel. Amen? But I promise you one thing, I'm more up to date than you think I am. I might not know what a, what do you call that thing, podcast? What's that thing you did today? Imported. That's it. He imported. I'm thinking, what do you mean you got to import it? It was already here. You didn't have to ship it anywhere. I knew what he was talking about, but anyway, I might not be able to do those things, but I'm pretty up to date on things. I don't live in the past. I may not live with all the trinkets and the toys of today, but I live today. We need to accept that change is a part of life. I've decided a long time ago I was going to enjoy every stage of life. I enjoyed being a teenager. Enjoyed being a college student. Not for very long. And I don't want to ever go through it again. But I enjoyed it. Enjoyed being a young married couple. And then we had kids. And I enjoyed being a young dad. And then I enjoyed having kids until they were teenagers. And then I've enjoyed living life without my children living at home. I decided I was going to enjoy being a grandparent. Josh and Ruthann got me a new pen. It says, number one grandpa on it. Can I tell you something? That title is second only to pastor in my own opinion. Say why? Because I enjoy that. I decided I was just going to enjoy it. I didn't want to be a grumpy old coot. You say, well, how are you going to handle being a grandpa, preacher? I'm going to enjoy it and have fun. Just ask Hunter. Man, take him to Nutter's and wind him up, amen? Man, urban air, glory to God. Great place. Watch them wear themselves out. He's on a zip line and there's 175 people in this building and it's loud as can be and all of a sudden you hear this, preacher! And you look up and there he goes through the ceiling. I love it. I enjoy that. Wait a minute. You say, well, you're getting old, preacher. Yeah, and I'm enjoying it. Doesn't bother me. Say, why? I've decided to accept what change there is. 20 years ago when I had to get glasses, I had to accept the fact I needed them. You can't hold your Bible out that far for that long. If you're constantly doing this, quit ignoring the fact of how old your eyeballs are. Quit being so full of pride and be sinful about it. Get them fixed. Ouch. Number two. I'm going to make a statement here. You may not agree with, but if you listen to the whole point, I can help you. Don't try to change others. Just obey the Bible. Quit trying to change other people. Obey the Bible. No one enjoys seeing people's lives changed for right as much as I do. I promise you. I love seeing God work in people's lives. I love watching as I preach that the truth hits you and moves you and people come to an altar. And I watch people's lives changing. I love taking my Bible and opening it up and showing a lost sinner how to get saved. And they trust Christ as their Savior. And we start seeing the change in their life. And love seeing people come to church and they walk in off the street. And Larry and Sherry came in and sat right back over here when we were in the old rented building down at the warehouse. And they walked in. I said, "Well, if you're looking for something fancy," he said, "we're not fancy." I remember preaching that Sunday morning, and Sherry walked the aisle. Right behind him, come Brother Larry, and they both got saved. Baptized him in a horse trough. And my, oh my, how God changed them. I love seeing that. But I don't live trying to change people. I live trying to obey God. I live trying to obey God. I'm not worried about changing everybody. If I'll just live the way I'm supposed to live, they will find the changes they need to make in their life. I am so glad last summer, Brother Josh and I, on a hot summer day, went out soul winning. Knocked on a door, and Aaron and Jennifer came to the door. And we talked and talked and talked and talked, and they came to church and they got saved. Their whole family got saved, baptized them, and look what God's doing. Now, I enjoy seeing the changes in their life and their family, but I didn't go there to change their life. I went there to obey God. Everybody understand that? Too many of you, if you don't see the changed life right away, you're upset with everybody else. Quit trying to change their life. You just obey God. I am not to focus on changing people in my own home or my own family. I need to focus on my obedience to the Bible and God's word. Some of you drive your family away by trying to change them. How about you just live the way you're supposed to live? Quit worrying about their changes. You work on your changes. I have family that does not agree with me. Hard to believe, isn't it? But may I say something? I don't worry about the changes they need to make. I just keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Isn't that what God says? Let me bring it down to where we live. This one's going to hurt. The more focused on them I am, the less focused on God I am. Isn't that what Matthew chapter 7, verse number 5 is all about? You see the splinter in their eye and don't see the beam in your own eye. You see this little speck of dust in their eye and don't see the board sticking out of your own head. You're so concerned about everybody else, but what about yourself? Quit trying to change everybody. How about you just work on obeying the word of God and let the changes happen naturally? Boy, that's good stuff. This one's really going to hurt. I don't need to form opinions about others or their situations because I'm focused on obeying God. I don't focus on how you're rearing Hunter or your marriage. I'm focused on my marriage and my relationship with God. If they need help, they come to me. But I'm not worried about saying, "I don't think you're doing this right, son. That's not the way you were taught. Well, some things he was taught he shouldn't do. Because I was the one, didn't it? You see, so many of you are so focused on your kids, your adult children, not doing the things the way you did it. There's your problem. And you're trying to force them into something. How about you let them grow up and face God for it themselves? I don't need to point out where I think they're wrong, because I need to focus on my obedience to God. I don't need to tell everyone all I know, because I'm supposed to find out what he knows to tell you what he wants. People come ask my advice. I give it to them. But I don't go to your house offering my advice. Don't come into your home and say, well, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to change the color of that, and I think you ought to do this. And it's not my house. Everybody doing all right? Okay. You say that about your things. How about people's lives? Why would you want to do that to their life? Realize that everyone, even you, need time to adjust as life changes. Give everybody time to grow. Give everybody a free pass. This world does not know as much about God as they used to know. Do you know, since 1960, everybody's thought that Benjamin Franklin was a heretic and hated God and an atheist. It's amazing if you go back and read what he wrote, how much he talked about God. If he was lost, he knew more about God than most preachers do in the denominational churches today. You see, we're so focused on what we think we know. But we better focus on how we're supposed to obey God and not worry about everybody else's life. That gets rid of cliques. Amen? Time to throw a fit. Number three, I've got to hurry. So I said, number one, life is a series of change. Number two, don't try to change others. Just obey the Bible. Number three, base your life mostly on things that don't change. Can I stabilize you for a moment? Spend most of your life focused on the things that do not change. Micah chapter 3, verse number 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Guess what? If you focus on God, doesn't matter what's changing around you. What are we going to do with all this legislation? And I am the Lord thy God, I change not. God didn't change with Nancy Pelosi or Chucky Schumer or Joe Biden or Communist Harris or whatever it is. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus does not change. Psalm 119:89. Turn your Bible to Psalm 119. Some of you need to mark this verse. Psalm 119, verse number 89 says this, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now look at me. That means this, the word of God does not change. I don't care how many versions are out there, or I call them perversions. I don't care how many times man rewrites it, the words of God do not change. We're not supposed to change God's words. The King James Bible is the word of God for the English speaking people. Well, I heard there was revisions to the King James Bible. Yes, because between 1611 and 1617, the English language changed the alphabet. And the only thing that changed were the letters, because P's used to be F's and F's used to be P's and H's used to be something else. And they switched all that. So there was a revision in 1617 to fix all that. You say, well, what does Psalm 119 verse 89 say in the original 1611 Bible? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's in the original, just so you know. So God does not change. Jesus does not change. The word of God does not change. That means this, principles from the Bible do not change. even as people and cultures and institutions around us change, these things do not change. Principles from the Bible do not change as people change, as culture changes. I don't believe we're supposed to change the services of our church because culture has changed. Visitors came back today, bless their hearts, go to a Methodist church. She walked out, she said, "You preach just like my brother did." And he was an old independent Baptist. She said, "You get lathered up." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I like it." Now, wait a minute. It's not supposed to change. God said, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, not like a flute." Not like a French horn. Like a trumpet. Everybody doing all right? When I focus on what does not change, I'm not as disheartened when people, institutions, or culture, or people around me change. Some of you are so blown out of the water because somebody you know has changed because you're focused on them and not what did not change. I don't know how many people I meet, they don't want to come back to church because they know a preacher who hurt them, so they think all church is bad. That's stupid. Let me say, that's just stupid. You're focused on what somebody did to you. Quit being so selfish. My pleasure is to be in what does not change, not what does change. The moment someone stands behind this pulpit and says that the King James Bible is not the Word of God, and I don't kick them out or throw them in the baptistry and baptize them till the bubbles stop, guess what? Leave. When you come in and there's drum sets up here and we have a rock band on the stage, then it's time to leave. Everybody doing all right? Or follow the bouncy ball. Or you sing the song that does not end and it sounds like the same thing for 10 minutes. Lord have mercy. I don't dwell on those who have changed. I dwell on what does not change. Many of you are so disheartened by people who have changed because you still keep in contact with them. I'm just going to say it. If you haven't talked to them in the last 20 or 30 years, you probably don't need to Facebook them. Amen. God did not change. Jesus and salvation did not change. The Bible has not changed. Why should I get so upset when sinners change? Everybody doing okay? Number four, not all change is bad. Some people say the word change, oh, that's bad. Change is bad. Not all change is bad. God stopping the manna for the Jews to eat regular food was not a bad thing. Matter of fact, it was probably in some ways better for them. It seemed sudden, but it was not. By the way, God was still providing for them, but in a different way. Just because God changes the way he provides doesn't mean God's not still providing. Well, that's not the way it used to be, preacher. Neither are you. Don't worry about it. Graduation is not a bad thing. Going to college is not a bad thing. Weddings can be a bad thing. Aren't necessarily a bad thing. Adding children or grandchildren to your family are not bad things. But all those things change your life. So not all change is bad. Now listen to me very carefully here. Most change is not as sudden as it seems. But even if it is, you can't live in the past. Well, I wasn't expecting this person to die. I understand that. But if they're saved, they're in heaven, all change isn't bad. The three that were killed in Maryland just the other day. They didn't expect that, and it was thrown upon them. But may I say something? Why is it that makes the news, but if somebody fell over dead with a heart attack, it doesn't? It was just as sudden. I wonder how many people died of a heart attack on Thursday. And it didn't make the news. Mass shooting. Three people. There was a shooting in the parking lot of the mall in Hagerstown. They called it a mass shooting. Nobody was hit, and I think there were three shots fired. But it was a mass shooting. Be careful what you listen to of the media. Brother Josh and Ruth Ann were on vacation and told you about the ship that was on fire and they had to go rescue them and stuff. I wish you could hear them tell about the media interview of how the media was trying to change what happened and getting people to say things that did not happen and berating them to get them to do so. This is how the media works. Most of you don't understand that. I've worked with these rascals. They're a bunch of idiots. They're evil. If you just knew how slighted things were, I can see if Jesus were alive today and he walked on the water, how that would be put into the news. Baptist preacher can't swim. Feeding of the 5,000, can you imagine how that one would hit the news? Baptist church takes from city coffers to pay for food for poor. Oh, I can see it. Most change isn't as sudden as we think it is. But even if it is, you can't live in the past. We need to make the best of change and keep doing our best. Even when negative comes, let's turn that change into something great for God and not allow it to stop us. I'm going to make a statement here that God made. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, watch this. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Five 530 years of reproach of Egypt upon the Jews in one day was rolled off of them. That's a big change. They carried that reproach with them all that time. God said, I'm going to roll it off of you, but it means you're going to change. And I'm going to show you what I mean. I'm not going to provide manna tomorrow for you. Better start eating. Better start getting some food. You're not going to stop change. How are you going to deal with it? So, I say to you, it's time to go shopping. God's going to stop some things. He's going to change some things. And there's going to be change happen naturally around you. Children will die. Teenagers will die. Young people will die. Young married people will die. Middle-aged people will die. Elderly people will die. Guess what? At what time can they die and it's okay? Why is it that that change is such always God's fault? Everybody doing all right? Maybe we ought to quit trying to change everybody. Focus on what does not change. Focus on our obedience and let the change happen around us and we adjust accordingly. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Amazing statement in the Bible. On the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more. I wonder, how are you going to handle change? Preacher, I just don't handle it well. Well, maybe it's time for you to start learning how, according to the scripture.